Good morning and welcome to episode 66 of Taking the Charge podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, as always, I'm David Hein of Hein News. And my partner in crime.
Hi, this is Oz Davis coming to you from BallinEurope.com with our, let's say, franchise office here in Budapest, Hungary, where it's a gray Christmas season.
Yeah, it's pretty gray here too. Actually, getting some snow now. It looks like it might be a white Christmas, although I won't be around.
Yes, you'll be in the sand Christmas. Yeah. You'll be having a sandy Christmas.
Desert. We're in the desert for Christmas, the missus and I are actually leaving tomorrow morning.
Hey, when you're out there in the desert on December 25th, you have to look for a cat.
A cat?
Yeah, because then you can finally see Sandy Claus.
Oh, man.
There's your bad Christmas joke of the season, brought to you by Taking the Charge.
Sandy Claus. Ouch, that's really bad, Oz. That's really bad.
Well, how else can you celebrate Christmas there in Egypt?
Yeah.
Actually, they celebrate Christmas, do they not?
I think probably pockets do, the Christian parts of it. But, you know, and more or less not. I don't even know how they're... I don't even know what New Year's is. I assume they're on the same calendar, but I don't know what kind of celebrations they have there. But we're not going to be doing anything big anyhow. So, we have a decent show for you today. Kind of a little bit, I guess. Sort of the same as usual. Kind of, you know, getting down to the final stretch of the EuroLeague. Touch a little bit on some going ons in Germany, and then that's about it, I guess. I think we're gonna stay under the 2 hour mark. I think we're pretty safe with that.
You just jinxed it.
No, I think we're pretty safe with that. And then Germany, actually, indirectly, German basketball also goes to the film of the week. We looked at a film called Elevate.
And we've also got, dare say, the greatest alternative Christmas song ever written, at least in this decade.
I think we got two good Christmas songs. You guys had a taste of it already, the first one, and so you'll hear that after the interview and stuff like that, as usual. But it's definitely worth staying till the end, listening until the end. So, Oz found a good one. That's for sure. Wolfman.
Yeah, the Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
I can't take credit for that.
Yeah. So, really quick, obviously, go to iTunes, rate and review us. Let us know what you think. Send us comments. Send us questions. We'd love to hear from you. Please do it. I would like to in the new year, I'd like to try to have some questions from you guys and kind of tackle those on the show. I've collected a series of questions over the last few months anyhow that I was going to pose and that we can kind of discuss. But obviously it would be great to have stuff from you guys. You can catch me at highnews.com. The email is highnews@gmx.de. High News is the Twitter handle. And Facebook, we are in the Taking the Charge group. We've given orders to our doorman to let people in. They just have to ask for to be let in. And of course, we will let you in. So, and Oz?
Yes, the website is BallinEurope.com. The Twitter handle is BIE_. And otherwise, yeah, I'd say Taking the Charge Facebook page.
I guess let's start with EuroLeague, the penultimate day of the regular season. Looks like there's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots available in the top 16. With, I guess, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, seven, eight teams fighting for those. So what did I say? Eight teams for five spots. Is that right?
Yes.
Sounds right.
Yes.
There was a big...
Yep.
A big win by Milan.
Yes.
Very big win by Milan, who were able to secure their spot by beating Bamberg.
A big win by Milan for Žalgiris, who combined it with their own big win at home.
I think, though, Žalgiris, it gives them the... Žalgiris can...
Well, it puts them a game up on Bamberg with that final matchup in Germany.
Yeah, but that was pretty much a win and you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. I think even if Bamberg had... Although, I can't remember exactly what it was. But, yeah, Žalgiris definitely helped themselves and got help.
Mm-hmm.
And got help. So FS, I think FS are more or less through. I think Bamberg would be out if they win by less than 10 and FS beat Real. So Bamberg could actually beat Žalgiris and still not make it through. That would be if Anadolu FS actually. Well, we don't even need to talk about them beating Real Madrid. So, FS I think has a pretty good chance of getting through.
So, what happened to Bamberg?
Bamberg they were up by. What was it? I think it was, they were up by four. I guess it was about a minute and a half left. And, you know, they had just got a dunk from Fischer and two free throws from Filikovic. And they seemed to have control of the game a little bit. And then, and it was like about a minute and a half left. And Smith comes down and just jacks up a three, like with, I don't know, probably 18, 19 seconds left on the clock. And missed. And then Gentile got the rebound and was fouled, which was also a strange foul. They fouled him for some reason. And then he made one of two. And then they got a stop. Next time down, Melli got a big offensive rebound, put it back. And so it was a 1-point game. And now you're talking like 40 seconds. And then Wright missed a layup. Up by one, missed a layup, and then Gentile got the rebound, and Wright, for some reason, fouled him. And then I guess that was 17 seconds left. And then Gentile made both free throws, and then, Smith missed a tough jumper. And then
is this a mental mistake, or was this called for?
I think it was mental mistakes on both parts. I think on Smith and Wright for fouling him. You know?
Wow.
Especially Smith. I mean, you're up by four. You don't need to, milk that clock, man. I mean, you've built up a little bit of momentum, and the whole sort of course of that fourth quarter, it was like, Bamberg would pull ahead by four, and then be tied up, pull ahead by two, be tied up, pull ahead by four, be tied up, and they were back up by four again with like a minute and a half left, and he comes down and just jacks up this three, and me and my buddy were like, why is he doing that? I mean, that's. That it's so unnecessary. Milk that clock a little bit. Get, drive to a lit. Drive to the basket. Maybe get some fouls. Maybe get a foul. Maybe get a couple free throws. And get up to six. And then you're at just over a minute left. And this, big time mental mistake there. And the right foul. Probably just overzealous trying to go after it again. Maybe go for a steal after after having missed the layup. And then, Smith, it was a tough shot. It was a makeable shot. And then Sanders actually appeared to have grabbed the rebound with a couple seconds left and could have got it, gone back up with it. But, Jarrell's, swiped it from. So big win for Milan there through Bamberg. They still more or less control their own destiny. I mean, if they beat Žalgiris, they're through. I guess the Moscow game.
Yes.
That pretty much. Now is Moscow holds the head-to-head with Barcelona now? Is that right?
Yes, they have the tiebreaker right now.
Okay, so they're the tiebreaker. So
and in Group A, the top three play the bottom three this week.
Yeah. Yeah, but with probably Barcelona maybe having the toughest game with Budivelnik, right? I guess Partizan might be a tough fight. Yeah, if you have to, all you have to do is look at the stats. Unfortunately, yeah.
Partizan wins and they're in, yeah. And they're at home.
Partizan.
So. Yeah, so that may be the toughest draw of the week.
Listen, dude, listen. Didn't you say, oh, Partizan have no chance, blah, blah, blah?
Well, we'll come down to predictions later.
I'm not saying that you're not right that Partizan that Nanterre are going to get through. But you know, you they're more or less through, no problem at all. And I said, watch out.
There you go. It's got to be that curse, right? It's got to be the taking the charge curse.
Yeah, that's what it is. What it is.
We'll blame it on that.
Yeah.
It can't be my lack of fair judgment. Regardless, my predictions will bear this out later. I'm sticking by my beginning of the season predictions as much as possible. Still, saw this game, and
Moscow Barcelona. No,
the Moscow Barcelona game last week, and a thought occurred to me is that wow, if there's one thing that Barcelona is lacking on this seemingly full team, it's somebody who can really drive fearlessly. Navarro has no mobility at all whatsoever. I mean, he takes one shot inside the arc the whole game. I mean, he just was not getting into position at all anywhere inside. When you know, Brad Olsson is your top scorer, I think there's a problem here. I'm not sure why. Again, I'm not sure why Pullen is getting such limited time. Jacob Pullen. He is showing an increasing unwillingness to pass or otherwise involve his teammates. So perhaps this is part of the problem. But this really occurred to me is that this could be an Achilles heel here going forward. We'll see. On the other hand, you know, I did not see the Liga Endesa game on the weekend, but somehow they scored 109 points. Got a few in the paint, as I understand.
Yeah, they broke a record. Barcelona broke a record for the biggest winning margin in Liga Endesa history, 59 points over Valladolid. 178 performance index rating. Just
in this game, they're putting up 109 points. They're shooting 30 of 39 inside the arc. Okay, 30 of 39 on twos. Now against Moscow, it wasn't shabby inside the arc at 43.9%. But having watched the game, I can tell you that was a lot of pull-up jumpers. A lot of pull-up jumpers, and you know your typical putbacks by Tomic and Olsson in this case as well. So maybe I should go back and try and catch that Liga Endesa game somehow and see what the difference is. Perhaps they were just angry.
So Lorbeck didn't play though. He played against Nanterre and has played the last two. The last two ACB games, would that have made much of a difference?
No, you're asking me to say something, you know, positive about Mr. Lorbeck right now? Nah.
All right. So
Again, you know, it's all about driving.
What about Hazonia then? Was he sort of stuck on the perimeter? Or was he able to drive much? I mean, he played 15 minutes, which is
I didn't see much activity from Hazonia at all. The problem is that so often in the half court offense, it looks like they got three Glenn Rices out there. Yeah. You know, they got three guys ready to take the set shot, yeah, and not much else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm seeing in the half court right now with Barcelona. Now, you can get away with that with some teams, but I guess, I don't know. I don't. Perhaps the size was an intimidation against Moscow. You know, Barcelona was not prepared to go big. Now I suppose Lorbeck is another big body to throw out there, but that's not what they need. They don't need more immobility in the paint.
Yeah.
They need ball movement. They need people movement, if you will. They need Jacob Pullen out there more often. You know, teach this guy how to pass a little bit, and then you know, put him on the floor more often.
Unfortunately, we neither Oz nor I watched the Partizan upset,
which we should have
in Istanbul of Fenerbahce. Life and work just got in the way, you know, and yeah, I think it. I wonder maybe if it was a little bit of Fenerbahce, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, we're more or less through, also more or less through with the top spot, and you know, and Partizan still, you know, absolutely fighting for their lives. I mean, you look, that must have been, he switched up the starting lineup as well. I wish I could say more about it. Other than I heard that the Bogdanović duel was fantastic. Bojan against Bogdan.
Yes, well, when the Bogdanovics meet, that's always a nice matchup. Let's take a look here. I just called up the box score. Okay, so, okay, you know, again, some of your key players are getting minimal minutes. There seems to be, just looking at the numbers, there seems to be an element of taking the foot off the pedal a little bit. Prezidic got some quality minutes here. I see almost 31 minutes out there, 21 points.
Well, he's their main guy, I think, mm-hmm. as well. You know what I mean? Okay, mm-hmm. Bogdanović, he sets up so much more stuff. You know, Bogdanović, look, you know, not one assist for Bogdanović, you know? So, mm-hmm. Bojan, so...
Yeah, he's been cleaning up the trash a lot the past few weeks. You know, other than this, you look at this and you see, you know, Kleiser with 14 minutes, Gaspar Vidmar with 13. You know, this is not. I think maybe they relaxed just enough to give Partizan this win.
Partizan shot 61% from 3-point range, and that obviously helps. So
yeah. Now they probably won't replicate that this week. I mean, they're 50% on twos as well. So overall, that's roughly. Over 50%. Yeah. 53, 54.
Let's move on. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't watch the game. I mean, I don't think I'll have the time to actually go back and watch it either. But
well, it'll be interesting to see what Fenerbahce does this week against Nanterre. Again, Nanterre is in a must-win situation. So
yeah. You ended up watching, I guess, Malaga Munich. Anything you wanted to say out of that, other than again a German team that failed to close?
Yeah, failed to finish. I'll keep it brief. I just wanted to give a shout out to Nick Kaner-Medley. I mean, every time I've seen this guy this year, he's been outstanding. He's scored in double figures every game since that he's played. I should say, since week two, and in week one he had 9, you know, and a couple of steals. So this guy, I mean, you can imagine if Winnie Kaha and he keep it up, you know, getting some EuroLeague second team mentions at very least. It's been a nice, consistent performer. And in this game, I think this was the difference. I think it was just too much of Nick Kaner-Medley, too many shots that this guy can hit from, you know, too many spots, I should say, that this guy can hit from. Nice job by Nick. Nice job by Uni Kaha.
Yeah. I think we probably both picked Bayern, no? We did. We both picked Bayern.
Yep. I'm going to have to get back on the Uni Kaha bandwagon.
You know what, though? I think it's almost time to I don't know about this Bayern team, man. I mean, okay, you know, you weren't able to close again. really, you know, you look through – you look through their schedule, you look through their results, there's not a lot of quality wins. EuroLeague, there's not many wins anyhow. But you look at who they beat in the EuroLeague. They beat Gora in their first game ever in the EuroLeague. Okay, granted, it was Bayern's first game as well. But, you know, so and they won their first game against Gora. They won against Siena, which arguably, you know, if it weren't for Hackett, you know, if it weren't for Hackett, that's probably a Euro Challenge team, not even a Euro Cup team.
Ooh, harsh words.
Well, would you agree?
Minucci's purse.
Would you disagree?
I have labeled this team the underachievers of the EuroLeague for the year. So yeah, I'd have to agree. Although you know, them sneaking into the next round is
looking... take Hackett off of that team. You know, there's Euro Challenge teams that could beat that team, I would say.
Since going 2-0 to start the season, and in fact 3-1 to start the season, since week two, they're
okay.
One.
Yeah, but, okay. So they lost by Olympiacos late. They had a chance to win, right? But at Olympiacos have struggled at home, and you know they've been in some close games. Okay, you said they beat Malaga, right? First of all, it was at home, and that was without Connor Medley.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Medley didn't play in that game. So
yeah, right. That was the week he missed. Yeah,
that was the week he missed. And so, okay, do you want to call that a quality win? I don't know. Do you call that a quality win or not?
Well, 14 points. Well, at home.
At home, where the opposing team was missing their best player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. It's tough. If you want to call it a quality win, okay, that's one quality win. You know, I'm not saying winning at home against Siena is a quality win. I'm not saying winning the first game ever against Gora is a quality win necessarily. I'm not gonna say that.
Look. Okay, you've talked everybody off the bandwagon at this point.
I just want to finish it because it's not just the EuroLeague. I'd say the only quality win in the takeaway the first week, they won at Bonn, who have proved to be a pretty strong team. And in the same week, 3 days later, they beat Bamberg at home. It was two games in 1 week. They beat Bamberg at home. But didn't look him, you know, look, you know, he had a big lead and then Bomber came back. Otherwise, who have they beaten? They lost in Berlin by 20. They beat Hagen at home by 18. They won in Würzburg, which is a tough place to play, but they've had a mess of a year. My eyes, really, the one quality win was at Artland, where they won by 13 points.
This is their top win of the year, you're saying?
It's really close.
Wow. It this could well be. I mean, if they pull it off here in week 10, yeah, that would be their best win of the season, I think. But here's the thing. I mean, I'm just looking at the EuroLeague numbers. If you're looking at the BBL numbers, perhaps you can tell me. But the truth is that they've given up a minimum of 71 points per game. They're giving up 78 points to Gora.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, again, we talked about this last week based on the EuroLeague Adventures piece on this team. This team, I mean, it's too bad you can't make the D joke. It's too bad
there's no... Lowest in league was they did 65 against Frankfurt Skyliners.
Okay.
And 68. Otherwise, 71's lowest.
Minimum. And then you go up against a squad like, you know, Olympiacos or Galatasaray the first time out, you know, that's loaded with weapons, You know, and you're giving up 84 points, 105 points. I mean, the best offensive team is going to have trouble playing to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, okay. The way that they won the Siena game in week two is by ringing up 89 points. Everything's working on offense, you know, against Olympiacos to putting up 103 points because everything's working on offense, but they're completely lacking in this other facet of the game. You know, it's fascinating.
That's why I don't.
This is a fantasy league team.
I don't. I don't buy that they are the top team in Germany right now. They're 12-1. They've lost one game. They lost in Alba by 20. They haven't lost a game otherwise. But I still say that Bamberg is by far the team to beat in that. You know, they have so much more upside. You know. Potential to improve. I don't see, other than somehow figuring out the, you know, that Pesic says to these guys, listen, we have to play a little bit of defense sometime, somewhere, because otherwise we're not going to win these games. So
you can't deny that these players are skilled, and it's not as though some of these guys cannot play defense. I mean, you know, a Troutman can play defense. I've seen him. You know, just to start at the top of the roster sheet.
The day after Christmas, Boxing Day, Ratio Farm. They're playing. Bayern are hosting Ratio Farm Ulm. That'd be a big test. In February, they host Oldenburg. You know, there's gonna be some big games coming up, and then we'll see a little bit more.
Well, is there any word about them picking people up? Is there anybody out there?
Bayern.
Or who, yeah.
Who does Bayern need? Who's Bayern going to take with the schedule?
Somebody who can D up.
Yeah, but that means they got to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
They have too many players already.
Yeah.
They have too many players. Hey, and Bamberg, we didn't mention Bamberg, you know, pulled off a huge coup in getting Elias Harris. he's a great fit for them. First of all, he's a power forward that could, you know, dip down a little bit to three. In a small lineup, he could actually go a little bit to the five. I'm not saying he's a center by any stretch of the imagination, but if somebody goes really small, you know, or they run like a Hagen or something like that. And he's German, you know. No, seriously, with the 6-6 rule, they couldn't go and find another American to fill in for Ford, who's going to miss 8 weeks. Because they already have 7 foreigners, and you can only play 6 foreigners. You can only have 6 in your squad, so they already had 7, and so you can't go and get another German, and can't get another foreigner. And then Harris came out, and so it was fantastic signing by them. So, and that's what I'm saying. Sanders is getting better. You know, I talk a lot about Rakeem Sanders. You know, Smith is getting better. You know, the decision making is getting there. Wright, I think they're going to have to make a decision soon on him. And whether or not they're going to keep him, I'm not saying they're not going to, but that would be one, you know, candidate who might eventually be let go, just because, you know, I don't think he's really, you know, grasping everything that they need and want to do. He's a great rebounding guard, but they are much better at rebounding the ball now than they have been in the past. Bamberg are, and so, you know, they don't necessarily need as much from the guard position as they needed in the past. So that's one guy to watch that maybe they might let go, but you know.
I just wanted to appeal to the EuroLeague for the very strange situation that I find my fantasy teams in. Okay, in my NBA fantasy league, I actually used my last pick to draft Elias Harris in my quest to accumulate as many European players as possible.
And how are you doing in that league?
You don't even want to know.
Okay, then I know.
And I'm about 500, to be honest. I'm about 500, but that ain't good enough. In any case, I'll whip him into shape by the end of the year. In any case, now we've got Elias on your league team. Now I think that I should be granted this guy in a free spot on my EuroLeague fantasy roster.
Because you had him in your NBA team or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If he transfers from one of my clubs to another one of my clubs, I think, you know, I think that's legitimate. I think I get the 13th roster spot or the 11th roster spot. I'm sorry. Not that I'm desperate or anything.
Okay. Okay, so Partizan, so A group we're pretty much okay with. B, yeah, that Real Madrid team is pretty good. C,
yeah, they're going to run the table this week.
Yeah, which would be a shock if they didn't.
Oh yeah.
Group C, man, Galatasaray just amazes me.
Yeah,
it really does. I just can't believe it.
Well, you gotta love this game. You know, just figuring that they're gonna go in, sort of, you know, coasting, whatever. You know, knowing they're not gonna get 20 plus points out of Carlos Arroyo again.
The thing is, they're done. They can't move up. They can't move down. Right. They're second spot, solid. Right. You know, so
they're locked. But then, what do we got? Oh yes, we discovered. We remember Zoran Ertzeg. You know, we remember Milan Matzvan.
Sorry. Well, Aldemir. That's
and it was Furkan Aldemir who it seems like two or three times a season just like comes out of nowhere and, you know, gives you the double-double. You know, it's, oh, you're going to go 33 minutes tonight, Furkan. I hope you're up for it. Yes, coach. It's like, okay. So, I mean, here you go. I was going to bring this up earlier. So here's Galatasaray, and this week they're taking on, they're playing Munich. Yes?
Yeah.
They're playing Munich in Munich. Right, so of course you're figuring, oh, they have nothing to play for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this team has so many weapons; they have so many options on offense that, you know, this team is going to be a problem for Munich. You know, playing for pride or not. You know, I mean, this is a must-win game for Munich, and the Turkish team is going to make them work for it.
And if you listen to this before the deadline, I'd say go and pick up a couple of Galatasaray guys. I think they might score some PIR points.
But which that's the thing. I mean, you can't tell who they're going to go to. I mean, do you really? Okay, let's do an over under. Arroyo 1 point this week.
Over by 16.
You know, I mean, who do you go with? It might be Guler this week. You know, I mean. That's what I like about this team. I'm always a sucker for teams like this. I'm always a sucker for the Swiss Army knife, you know, that can just break out a weapon and you're not sure which one it is. No,
Arroyo's not going to have two games like that in a row. Arroyo's going to score at least 17. Plus, Bayern like to run and they pound it into your head so much to run that you eventually do run. That's one thing they do.
They gotta score.
They do control the tempo. You do have to say that. They get teams to play their tempo, you know.
Yeah, but it's because they have to score.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to stop the score. It's the Phoenix Suns offense of the old days. You know, it's just point a minute, you know, point a second, you know.
So I say Roya is a good one to bring in. I'd probably say, I'm trying to think, you know, Aldemir might be a little bit more of a mismatch for the German bigs, for the Bayern bigs.
Matzvan.
Yeah. God, he had 16 rebounds, Aldemir did. Holy cow, man.
Yeah. Nice little double-double there.
Wow, yeah, double two times. Well, no, I guess he almost had double-double. Man, he's definitely stepped up for Pops. I would take all three. I mean, I already have Arroyo and Matzvan. I do. I have Matzvan and Arroyo, and I'm going to probably go get Aldemir. I'm thinking about selling a Jinka now.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be gone anyhow.
He's
going to be gone from the, system after one more game.
But between the rounds, you get to totally remake your team.
Yeah, but you know, still. But yeah, only with the number of credits, though, right?
Yes, sell on a Jinka now.
I picked last week. Added Rakeem Sanders for a nice price of less than 16. 14 rating. for 16 credits, man.
Okay, okay. Don't brag. It's unseemly.
No, it's not. No, 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 no. It's telling the people out there, go get him. He's still only 18.
Be clever like me.
He's still only 18.
Wait, what's that name again? I'm going to write this down.
Rakeem Sanders.
Okay. Rakeem Sanders. Okay.
I'd say go get Machon too. He's less than 27. He put up almost 30.
Uh-huh.
So.
Perhaps. And then he's going to be good for a 5-3 this game.
Come on. No way, man. No way. They don't have enough bigs, man. They don't have enough bigs for him not to play.
They don't have enough, period.
Yeah, well, exactly. So yep. And maybe I might just take all the Galatasaray guys because.
Yeah, sure.
Anyhow, sure. Okay. Group D's are just a mess, huh? I think is there anything that you really want to talk about? I unfortunately had to watch that Rito's game against Maccabi. Uh-huh.
That one's set, right? Can Panathinaikos? Yeah, I suppose Panathinaikos and Baskonia can still switch places. Panathinaikos is at home and Baskonia is at home. Both tough draws, too. Panathinaikos hosting Maccabi and Baskonia gets Kuban.
Yeah, I didn't look at the constellation of who if Kuban can actually still even go down to a three spot. You know, what it would be like if it's a three-way tie, which I suppose is a chance, right?
Must hold the tiebreaker with Baskonia now, right?
Well, they play against Baskonia.
That's right. Yeah, so with a loss, wow, I wonder if they could get dumped.
With a serious loss,
they could get dumped to four.
They could be dumped to four, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens with the Panathinaikos games, I don't remember. Yeah.
That's a quality four seed.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Let's run down EuroLeague, you're done, right? You know what I mean? Okay, let's go. Let's really quick go through the results that we had from last week. Barcelona, we both picked Barcelona. Guess that didn't work out. We both went over 12 with Fenerbahce. Kind of missed on that one.
Yeah.
We both picked Nanterre. We both missed on that one. But we both picked Efes.
Oops.
Kind of missed on that one.
Bad week.
We both picked Milan. Hey, we both picked Milan over Bamberg. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We both picked Real. I said, we both said under 24.5. Yes and yes. Olympiacos, I went out on a limb and said Siena. Nah. Didn't quite work. We both picked Bayern. That didn't work. Galatasaray. Oh, good job, man. Galatasaray. We both picked Galatasaray. They won, right? Galatasaray won, yes. And we had Arroyo 22 points. You went under and I went over.
Yeah. Close, Dave.
Yeah. What do you have? 1 point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the line. Yeah.
No, he had a. How is he not going to have 1 point?
Hey, I made you think.
Not from the line.
I made you think, Dave. I got you. I was...
I'm like, wait a minute.
You're paying attention. Congratulations.
Red Star Lavaral. You took Red Star. Congratulations. I hate this group, man. I can't get anything in this group. Maccabi. We both picked Maccabi. I had under on the 12.5. Yeah, so I got that one. And we both picked Kuban. Did that work out? No, Panathinaikos won. Man, that was a tough week for us, huh?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Went through the shredder on that one.
Man, you had 5 right. I had 4 right. Good golly. All right, let's do week 10 really quick. All right,
redemption. Redemption in week 10. Here we go.
Let's do week 10 really quick. Okay, so Partizan Moscow.
Partizan Moscow. All right, let's see.
All the
lines this week are within 6.5 points as we speak, except for one, and I'll let you try and figure out which one that is, Dave. It is not Partizan Moscow. Moscow is a 4-point favorite. Let's see. Partizan at home in a must-win situation versus CSKA, who is suddenly learning how to be CSKA. Tough call. I'm going to go with the hot red team. I'm going to say Moscow wins this game.
Moscow. Oh, man. I'm tempted. You know what? I'm going to go Partizan.
And thus they're in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are they?
Yep.
About. Well, no. I mean, do they have the tiebreaker over over Nanterre? They lost the second game. Yeah, they do because they won by 30 points. Okay, so yeah, if they win, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And if Nanterre lose, they're in.
If they ever needed the Pioner Mystique, it's this week.
Okay, so I'm saying they're winning in. They're winning and they're inning.
And they're inning. All right.
Sorry.
Going cricket on you here.
Barcelona, Kiev. I'm saying Barcelona.
Barcelona, Kiev. Okay, this is the blowout game of the week. Ooh. Barcelona, 16.5-point favorites.
Wow.
Possibly after the explosion in Spain.
I bet you that changed it. I wonder what that line looked like before that game.
Barcelona wins, but Budivelnik covers. Well, we're only doing this the day before the game, so it's not going to go down that much.
No. I'm saying before the Liga Endesa game. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they jacked it up a few points after.
You're going 16.5 under, right?
Yeah, I'm saying Barcelona wins, but Budivelnik's going to cover that.
Yeah.
Again, Barcelona's is going to be relying on the jumpers in this game.
Well, Barcelona for sure. I think, yeah, I'll stay the under as well. Fenerbahce at Nanterre.
Okay, well, I'm sticking with my predictions from the beginning of the year. Nanterre.
Wow.
Nanterre wins. They're a 6.5-point underdog.
You're going straight up Nanterre?
Yep.
No, Fenerbahce. They're not going to lose two games in a row. I don't know if they'll cover that, though. They'll be tight. You know?
Oh, they won't cover.
No. FS, Real Madrid.
FS against Real Madrid looking to run the table. Real Madrid is a 6.5-point favorite. I'm going to say lights out for FS, possibly. They're going to have to go to the tiebreaker. Real Madrid wins this game. And I'll even dare say they cover that 6.5.
I'm saying over on 6.5 for sure. Have they been under? What's their? I wonder what they're winning.
Yeah, against the spread. I wonder how they're doing.
No, just in general, what their
average margin of victory.
You know, I mean, Bamberger mm-hmm. really was the only close game they had for a while.
Give me a few minutes.
I'll look at it while we're doing it. So, next game is Bamberg Kaunas in Deutschland.
Okay, Deutschland is favored by 5 in this game. Bros wins and they're probably in, right?
Yes. If Bamberg, if FS were to win,
right,
then Bamberg would have to win by 11 points.
By 11 points. Okay.
Because they lost by 12 in Kaunas.
All right, and the line is 5, I think I said. Yes, 5. I'm going to say Bamberg wins. I'm going to say Bamberg wins in overtime.
Oh, OT?
Yeah, this could be the game of the week.
Bamberg win, for sure. Strasbourg and Milan.
Does this game have any implications? Probably not.
Yeah, I guess Milan could probably... I don't know what they did. Had to
Milan is a 5-point favorite. Okay, I'm gonna say Milan wins, but Strasbourg covers. Yeah. I got Strasbourg plus the points.
5?
Yeah.
So you're saying under, right?
It's a 4-point game, yeah.
So Milan under 5. It's in Strasbourg, right?
Yeah.
I'll go over.
Milan
and over.
Okay.
Gora at home against against Olympiacos.
6.5-point spread
here. Do they run the table?
Yeah, Olympiacos is going to run the table. They're going to win this game handy. They're going to try and build up the big first half lead and then just cruise after that. So I say they win by double figures.
What was it, six?
6.5.
I say under because it's in Gora or whatever the city in. Whatever the city in.
It's in Poland.
Yeah, exactly. Siena Malaga.
Siena versus Malaga. Okay, here's the game of the week by the sports book. Siena's a 1-point favorite. Okay, let's take a look at this. Well, I really liked Unicaja in this last game. I really like the possibility of Caner Medley carrying this team this week. So I'm going to say Malaga for the win, which would mean that I would be taking, you know, plus the point as well.
Just go straight up on that. Yeah,
so for the win.
I'm going Mr. Hackett.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Hackett versus Caner Medley. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Siena. So Bayern home against Galatasaray.
Oh, no. I am firmly off the Munich bandwagon. Galatasaray wins. There is no line available on this game at the moment. However, Bayern is a 7-20 favorite. Galatasaray is 9-4 underdog.
I'm going to say Galatasaray.
Okay.
Off the bandwagon. I don't know if I was totally ever on. Once I realized that they never really won anything, they never really got a big win. You know, everybody was like, we talked too much about Bayern already.
We know you're trying to support your hometown Bomber.
No, but Bomber is not my hometown, okay? They're further away than Munich is. So everybody who may think that. Okay, Panathinaikos, Maccabi.
Panathinaikos Maccabi. Okay, this line is surprisingly high, I think, at 5 points.
For Panathinaikos.
No, 6.5
for Panathinaikos.
Yeah. I could well imagine Maccabi winning this game outright, but I'll say Panathinaikos defends home court in that vicious land. It's going to be close. It's going to be closer than 6.5.
Yeah, Panathinaikos is going to win, and it's going to be closer than 7.
But well, Maccabi has the number one clinch, do they not? They could tiebreak with Kuban, but.
Well, if they have the tiebreaker in Skuban, it's the only team they can play.
Okay. Yeah. So they're set at 1. Yeah. I'm going to say they give Panathinaikos a game, but Panathinaikos wins.
So the two games actually Real Madrid they won by only 7 in Milan and they won by 13 in Strasbourg.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the Real line? It was 6.5. So yeah, definitely still going over by 6.5. Ritos. With the new coach, we forgot to mention that. Leitvos Ritos Vilnius have brought in Ako Petrovic, obviously former Bosnian national team coach. Obviously won the Euroleague twice, coach of the year, the Euro Cup in 2011 with Cibona, Acedevita. Is the new coach to replace Dirk Bauermann. So... does Petrovic get a win against Red Star?
Sure.
In the absolute meaningless game of the week.
Sure.
I think this is probably the only game that has absolutely no meaning on anything, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing can change after this game. Yeah, sure. Vitus wins.
I think so too. Yeah.
4-point favorite? Sure. They'll even beat that 4 points.
Oh, 4 points. Over. I'm not gonna. I don't know. I'm not gonna. Can I? Can
not
I just
touch that one?
Can I not touch it? Is that okay?
I guess if you're a wuss, Dave.
Oh, damn, dude. You're saying over.
What's the matter?
I'm saying under. Okay. Kuban at Kucha.
Yeah. Could be a good game. I'm really disappointed in Baskonia last week, but I have to stay on the bandwagon there as well because I took them at the beginning of the season. So
you're doing overall?
Baskonia has to win. I'm going Baskonia. Let's see. The line on that one, if I can find it by the many names that that team in Basque land goes by. It's 4 points. 4 points to Baskonia. I think they're going to win this game. I'm taking them to win this game. I'll say it's a close one. 4 points is mighty close, but I'll take Kuban plus the points.
So you're saying under.
Baskonia to win, Kuban plus the points. 4 points.
Under on the four.
Yeah.
I hate this game because these are the two teams that I get right.
You can't get a grip on, yeah.
I cannot. I have no clue on either.
Well, Baskonia is all over the map.
This year? What about last year? Remember last year?
Right. You know, every season's a new season in EuroLeague. Which rosters way too quickly.
It's in Baskonia. Oh, man. I'll say Kuban. Just to be different from you so that we have, you know, One wins and the other one doesn't. Okay. Do we want to look at the do you want to look really quick at our picks for who's gone through or not?
No, we can do it when the results are in, right?
Okay, we'll do that now. Okay, good.
It's not over yet.
Okay, good. So I guess let's move to Germany really quick then. Back to Germany. Okay. I know, I'm sorry we're talking a lot of Germany, but interview of the week. Many of you may have seen this already. I talked to Johannes Lischke, the German international, who just over a month ago, had surgery to remove a tumor from his head. The club, you know, you can say, why don't you just call it a brain tumor? The club said, you know, it's not a brain tumor, so whatever. And I think it was 34 days. Germans love to write how many days ago something happened. It's absolutely amazing in this country. It's absolutely amazing.
Precision is important.
365 days after this.
Yes.
Anyhow, so I returned to the court for Walter Tigers Tübingen. 34 days after the operation to remove the tumor. Played against Hagen, played 2:43 seconds. Missed all three shots, grabbed three rebounds, as he also says in the interview, was quote out of shape, you know, was overweight. The hormones that he's taking cause a drastic weight gain, and he was up 10 to 12 kilos since the operation, and so this is my chat with him. I said you may have seen it, the most of the interview was on FIBA Europe late last week, before the game that he had on Sunday. But there are a couple of portions in there that were pretty interesting. So here's the interview with Johannes Lischke.
Johannes, why don't we first start off with generally how you're feeling right now?
I'm actually feeling pretty good right now. I've been practicing with the team, like doing everything for like 1 week now, and I will play on Sunday, my first game against Hagen, so I'm pretty excited about that.
How did that feel being back on the court? Obviously, there was, about 3.5 weeks after the surgery. What was it like being back out with the basketball in your hands with your teammates?
Yeah, obviously, I missed it a lot. I was practicing already 2 weeks after the surgery, but I wasn't allowed to do like contact stuff, so no 5-on-5 or anything like that. But since 1 week, I've been practicing 5-on-5 with the guys, and I really missed the competition, you know, going against each other, going for wins, even if it was only in practice, and it was really fun, and now I'm looking forward to the real game on Sunday.
Did you sense sort of a hesitation from your teammates at first, knowing what you had gone through, or how did the teammates respond when you were actually back at 5-on-5?
Actually, I didn't sense that. I was a little tentative in the beginning, you know, in the first couple of practices. I was a little, you know, didn't go like for the offensive rebounds like I used to, or didn't go on the paint as much. But yeah, I think the last couple of days it's been basically back to normal. I'm not thinking about it at all and just playing my game.
What would you say was the biggest hurdle in getting back to a point where you can play a game?
The biggest hurdle is that I have to take hormones right now because since the surgery, my body is not able to produce them, and that causes my body weight to go up, you know, and that's right now the biggest hurdle to play with a couple of kilos more than my normal weight. And I hope in the next couple of weeks my body will get used to it and that the weight will go down. Yeah. That's the biggest problem right now.
So you're actually almost overweight right now?
Yeah, I am overweight right now, but it's only because of the hormones, not because I eat McDonald's or stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, this doesn't mean to sound critical at all, but I mean the hormones that you're taking, those are cleared medically, like, you know, doping wise and all that stuff. I mean, that would be the worst thing in the world that in such a case that if there were to be a test now and that you would be positive, that you could be suspended for 2 years. I know it sounds very strange, but
we got cleared. The hormones that I'm taking right now would be doping, but I just got today the permission from the NADA.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So
the German, the German.
Yeah, the National Anti-Doping.
Right, the German Anti-Doping Agency. Yeah. Okay.
And we got that cleared, and that's not a problem.
Okay. So the hormones that you're taking would actually be considered doping.
Yeah, it's, I think the testosterone would be doping. I have to take testosterone too.
And now, did you have to clear with them how long you're going to take these, or at what point you're going to stop, or how does that work?
That's not even decided yet.
Okay.
Maybe I have to take them for the rest of my life. So okay. we don't even know yet. But I think this special permission that I got right now lasts for 1 year.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to see again.
And that, this is the last question on that, because I know it's probably kind of strange to be talking about it. So, but that clears you for that hormone, right?
Yeah.
So that if I mean, obviously there's so many hormones and drugs out there, that clears you for that result in a test.
I take this testosterone, I take one more hormone, and one more.
Whatever medication you're taking, the permission clears those, you know, covers those. Okay.
Yes.
Let's say, you know, you said you've been back really 5-on-5 for a week now. You know, if somebody looks at the situation, they may say, "Why is he already coming back?" What would you say to that?
Why I am already coming back?
Yeah. Why do you want to? You know, I'm not saying that you are, but you know, some people must say, you know, why rush it? You know, why do you want to come back already on Sunday?
To me, it's my normal attitude, you know, to try to come back as fast as possible, and I think I can have the team. Like to win games, you know. We've been struggling for the last couple of games.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, I'm just trying to have and do my thing, you know. And if I would feel like I couldn't have, and I would see in the practices that I'm just not able to do things that I used to do, then I would say maybe 2 or 3 more weeks to get in really good, in better shape, you know, and then play. But I feel like I can have the team, and so why not?
And there's no fears at all.
Fears from the surgery?
In general, yeah.
In practice, no. I mean, the game is obviously something different, but I'm not scared at all. I just can't wait to play basketball again.
Yeah. why don't we go back to when you found out that it was a tumor? What was kind of going through your mind then, and where did you go from there?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a shock. And, yeah, I mean, you think, like, how can this happen, you know? How does this, you know, this thing come to your head, you know? And it's just, yeah, I mean, just a shock. And then it was a good thing that I just had 3 days to really think about it before the surgery. So the MRI was on a Thursday and the surgery was on a Monday, so it was only 3 days where I really had a chance to think about it, you know, and then it was over with.
And it's 100% gone then?
Tumor? You can never say 100%.
Yeah, sure. Right, okay.
99.9, the doctor said, because there might be always, can be some cells left. But I will always, like, every half a year have a new MRI to check if it is coming back. But the chances that it will be coming back is, like, close to none.
Yeah. You said half a year, every half year, or?
Yeah, every half a year.
Every half a year. Yeah. Okay. Maybe talk about how this changed your perspective on life.
Yeah, that's a good question. I really don't know yet how it changed my perspective. I think when you go through something like that, I think it might help me basically on the basketball court to take it a little lighter, knowing that there are way more important things in life than basketball, you know, and that this is only a game. And yeah, I think that might be something that helps me on the court.
You came into the season and you really been playing well. I'm sure there was a bit of a frustration there as well that you know, you had been playing so well and then something like this happens and takes you out of all the momentum that you'd had, right?
Yeah, that was a frustrating part too. Like, I felt like the symptoms,
yeah.
Yeah, symptoms from the tumor, like, already, like, 3 or 4 weeks before the surgery. And, yeah, my last two games was against Fechter at home and at Braunschweig.
Yeah.
I was already playing not so good, you know, and I felt, like, on the court that I was getting tired really fast and I couldn't do the things that I did before. And, yeah, up to that point I had a really good season. I was rebounding really well, shooting the ball well, and yeah, it was tough. But I hope that in the best case on Sunday I can just connect to the way I was playing before and go from there. But this is obviously going to be tough.
Yeah. What are your expectations for Sunday?
I mean, at Hagen, obviously a tough game. They beat Oldenburg by 20 last week at home, so
but
I think we got a good team now. From the personal point, you just have to be a team, you know. We are not a team yet. We are a group of good individuals, but we're not a team, and that's where we have to, you know, start. And I think against Hagen, if you play smart, if you like run back on defense, if you stop their transition, if you stop their shooters, you can always have a chance to win. But if you do that for 40 minutes, we might give ourselves a chance.
You went through the disappointment over the summer where you didn't make the team for Eurobasket, from what I read, you know, you also came in a little bit more motivation, if you will, into this season. How does you know, knowing that you played really well and now this, how does that change your perspective on the German national team then in the future?
Doesn't change it at all. I mean, I don't know who's going to be the coach next year. I said under this coach, I don't want to play. So if he's going to be coach next year, I won't be in the national team. So that's basically it. My focus right now is on Tübingen. And after this, you know, after this tumor and all this, I have gone through the last couple of weeks, it might be good to take the summer off, you know, to just, you know, a month or a month and a half, just relax and then work out for myself and get ready for the new season. But that's not decided yet.
Yeah. Obviously, there was so much support for you from the entire league, teammates, national teammates, everybody else around the league. What was that like, knowing that everybody, you know, was wishing you the best?
I mean, it was great. It was a great feeling that so many, you know, teams or ex-teammates or friends from other teams, they called me or wrote me messages or on Facebook or whatever, and you know, really gave me a good feeling. Even on this, I wore this on Sunday night, the surgery was on Monday, and so many people called and wrote me messages on Sunday night and really gave me, like, courage for the surgery and made me, you know, just gave me a good feeling. It was really great.
Last question, what do you want to tell the people who will be watching you on Sunday ahead of time?
What I want to tell them?
Yeah.
Don't expect too much like, for the first game, but just know that I will try my best to have the team win.
And that you're on the way back.
I always try it.
And that you're on the way back.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Hey, man, thanks a lot.
Okay, interesting stuff there. Dave, I just want to say, you know, we've known each other for a while, you know, a few years now. And I just got to say that, dude, if you're a narc, I'm afraid our friendship is over, man. That is, like, not cool, man.
What are you talking about?
I thought it was interesting, the questioning on the whole doping question. I think that it's unfortunate in this man's case that, I mean, this was last week. This was sounding like a feel-good story. And now, all of a sudden, maybe not.
But he's been cleared of to take the hormones that he's taking. They wouldn't let him play. He's been cleared with the National Doping Agency.
Yes, but it's interesting because isn't this a situation where it's not so much a performance enhancer as a performance, you know, detractor?
It's a hormone necessary for him to live.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a situation where it's going to take, it could possibly take him out of the game. Am I correct?
Yeah, he mentioned after his first game that the weight is just way too much, and that, you know, that if it doesn't, if he can't deal with it, that he may eventually, he's someone who's very, very expressive and just, you know, says almost pretty much whatever he's thinking. You know, very open guy, and so, you know, it may be just spur of the moment. He's frustrated about just getting, you know, not getting very much playing time and not being in game shape. But was, you know, mentioning, you know, maybe I just have to stop playing. You know, I mean, he's definitely at least months from actually, you know, getting out of the game.
I was just gonna say. I mean, how long will it take?
No, that'll take months if he can't somehow get some of the weight down, or if he can't figure out how to play. But he's a professional basketball player, German international. You know, I mean, he's.
Right, and he's 35 days or whatever
he'll figure out a way. I mean, sure, he could figure out a way to change up his game a little bit, you know. But again, he's a spur of the moment guy, you know, and so.
Well, let's hope. Let's.
But it was great to see that he was back on the court, you know, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, let's hope everything turns out for the best. I mean, yeah. Okay, now that the surgery is done, you know, now that the life-threatening surgery is done, you know, let's hope that he can live the life that he wants to live and ultimately play the game that he wants to play.
So he was leading the league in rebounding before the surgery. Mm-hmm. and So just happy to see him back, and hope that he can get back to some a situation where he can, you know, that he's satisfied with how he plays. Mm-hmm. You want to listen to some music now, or is there anything else you wanted to do?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so have fun with this one.
This is Chris Fleming, coach of the Bros of Baskets. I listen to Taking the Charge podcast from David Hine and Oz Davis.
My, wasn't that nice. We're maintaining the holiday spirit, sounds of the teen style here on Taking the Charge. You just heard Xmas Songs, Plastic Sputnik Arcade Punk Remix by Hallie. That one's from the brilliant 2003 album that seems to come back around at this time of year, entitled The 8 Bits of Christmas. Later you'll be hearing the self-explanatory Set a Place at Your Table for a Zombie by Deborah Mann. That's from the album Badgerland Presents Yuletide Entertainments by Oddball Christmas Song Compilation Specialists Badgerland. For these songs, many more, some not even themed on Christmas, visit freemusicarchive.org for free downloads on websites and in podcasts like this one. And now, back to Taking the Charge.
What's the... Oh, wait, I don't know if we want to give away too much away on the last song. You got to listen to the last song. If, yeah. You know, this... Okay, sometimes the music is good, sometimes it's not so good, sometimes it's, you know...
It's always offbeat.
Yeah. We really try to do some different stuff, and Oz, as soon as he found this one, I'm like, yeah, we need to have this one up there, and he's like, yeah, put it at the end of the show, and I'm like, yes, exactly. We need to have everybody wait until the end. Thank you. Thank you, Wolfman Oz.
We're going to send them out singing on the end of this podcast. And I just wanted to say, I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to search for some Christmas music for Taking the Charge, because I've got kind of a rant on this. If there's anything that makes me crazy about the Christmas season, aside from, you know, the weather, it is the music. I mean, it's bad enough already that every year we break out these songs that are 70, 80 years old and play them again. And, you know, that are completely irrelevant these days. You know, you hear something.
Yeah,
like,
especially when you have like Last Christmas to come and listen to, right?
Yeah. You hear something like chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Now, who roasts chestnuts on an open fire anymore? You know, they enjoy chestnuts at Christmas time here in Hungary. They don't roast them on an open fire. Nobody does. I mean, what is that? Who rides in a one-horse open sleigh anymore? You know? And so I promised my kids that I would put together an alternative Christmas mixtape. And set a place at your table for a zombie is
definitely going to be on there.
Right? Yeah. I've got stuff on there. Like, you know, of course, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't understand why we don't play this more often. You know,
that's played pretty often, man. That one's played pretty often.
Often, but not like something.
The Run DMC song.
Christmas in Hollis is definitely
Christmas
on.
In Hollis is great. Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas in Hollis is an all time classic.
I like the YouTube one. The YouTube one. Christmas. No, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home.
Oh yes. There's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Awesome. Santa, here, this is one for you then. Santa Claus is Smoking Reefer from the Squirrel Nut Zippers. Go check it out. Santa Claus is Smoking.
I don't know if I can put this on a mixtape for my kids to enjoy, though. I'm not sure.
That's one for the adult mixtapes. Right.
That's an NFSW sort of file. Christmas at Ground Zero by Weird Al Yankovic. This is a great song.
That one I don't know. I'd have to.
This should be played. But in any case, I really would like to sort of lead. I mean, even older stuff that we don't hear so often. You know, like the Andrews Sisters in the 40s did a bunch of Christmas stuff that we never hear. What about Santa Baby?
Yeah, that's a great song. That's a great song.
I mean, even Madonna even covered.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree is a good one.
even that's getting moldy. Here we are. The music that we listen to nowadays on contemporary radio is 50 years old at most. You know, you go back to the Rolling Stones in the early 60s. Okay, that's about as far back as it goes. So why are we breaking out Perry Como and Frank Sinatra in Hungary, no less? You know, it's in English out here. You know, that's what I don't understand. So why would you not play contemporary stuff, especially if it's good? You know, especially if it's catchy and it's fun. You know, I mean, enough with the jingle bells.
All right, what about playing Christmas stuff all year?
Ugh.
I guess not. Okay.
Really?
No, I was just wondering. Okay, movie of the week time. Going back to Germany, actually, and indirectly, actually going to Senegal. I was told about this movie because one of the guys in the movie is actually playing in Germany. The movie is called Elevate, and you know what? I don't even know. Hang on a second. I'll put that somewhere. Elevate from... that's not it. 2011?
Yes.
And it looks at four Senegalese... basketball players who go to America, and I will let you continue.
Yes, as Dave just said, this is a 2011 documentary called Elevate, and more or less on, I guess this would be the equivalent in Senegal of the basketball academies of the sort that we see in France and Lithuania and other countries in Europe. The film is often, it hasn't received much press, but when it has received press, when it has been reviewed, it is most often compared to Hoop Dreams. Now, of course, you know, Hoop Dreams is the classic basketball documentary in the mind of the late Roger Ebert. This is the greatest documentary ever. Okay, so obviously there's a lot of comparisons to this movie. However, this is an excellent, excellent comparison in that the filmmakers follow four potential recruits for In most cases, these sort of high school academy basketball factories in America, sometimes university, and
no, this, they all go to high school. They all go to high school.
It's all about high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so
it's getting them into the system. You know.
Right. Exactly. And it's interesting in that. Getting these kids into, it's one of the many interesting things, is that getting these kids into the American Academy program of whatever choosing is only part of the method. It's only part of the system. It's only part of what's happening here. So often we hear again and again and again that once the kids that are focused upon get to America, and there are some fantastic just fish out of water scenes in those bits, in the America bits. When we get to that, we're constantly told that you have to behave, you know, you have to play the game. And I don't mean the basketball game. I mean, you know, the social game, you know, you have to check all the boxes, in your career and in academia in order to, you know, sort of smooth that path for future Senegalese players. It's even more high pressure than the situation in Hoop Dreams, which is all about, you know, getting out of the inner city and finding the bright lights of a big university and or the NBA. Same kind of deal here. The cultural implications are made even greater. You know, of course, this is always something that I'm fascinated with, is this culture shock aspect. This is made greater. A lot of these kids, their native language is French, I think all of them, but it's not even a standard French. You know, it's definitely a sort of patois. There's definitely regional dialects going on there. And you can see this, not even understanding French. You can see this just by listening to the coach of the team in Senegal and listening to the way he speaks. And you can tell that he's using the proper vocabulary and the proper grammar, whereas his charges are not. So here we're already starting with a lot of these guys. Not all of them. There are a couple of true brainiacs in this bunch. But we're talking about a bunch who perhaps is even undereducated in their native language. And then they're going here. They're coming to, you know, an American, a proper American high school. The other thing that really struck me vis-a-vis the cultural thing, before we even get to the basketball, was the fact that these guys were Muslim by religion.
Yeah.
Now, it's unclear as to how devout some of these guys are. But the truth is, when they're involved in the program in Senegal, along with the education and the basketball, you get to do the prayers. You get to learn about Islam. And I thought one of my favorite scenes in this movie is, you know, they show one of our players about to depart for the U.S. and he's doing, you know, the daily prayer, pointing the prayer rug to Mecca, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's a scene, one of the very next scenes is he's in America and he's going to church. Mm-hmm. And it just struck me. It's just like, man, what can this guy be thinking? But it's something he has to do to, guess what, pave the way for the other Senegalese would-be players. In all, we can say that, it's a compelling film. It's compelling in that same way that Hoop Dreams is. Again, you know, Hoop Dreams is the classic of this genre, but it does contain that same sort of twisty-turny route with lots of surprises along the way and you know, monkey wrenches that you don't expect entering the works. You know, some of the typical stuff like injuries and some of the not so typical stuff that you might not expect. The film looks great. But I couldn't help thinking that there was a little bit of, you know, reality TV machination going on there. I mean, certain scenes in Africa just looked a bit too perfect for a trained eye. For somebody who's seen, you know, hundreds of documentaries, looks a little bit off. But this is a small point. The main point of this film is the drama of not only the pressure to succeed on some very young folks, but having the weight of, you know, your entire country on your back.
First of all, many of the schools, not necessarily where these guys go. I know the one is South Kent, in Connecticut. But a lot of the places where I'd say more of the Africans than necessarily now the Europeans, but started the Europeans and they moved then on to they sort of switched then more over to the Africans that come over are private. Private slash Catholic college preparatory academies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's prep school. It's a sort of a pepped up way of saying high school, but in essence, that's sort of what it is. But it's a lot of them are Catholic and private. And you said the cultural shock, and you were talking about Hoop Dreams. I think that this one. This one actually reminds me more of Balotero Ball Player than necessarily mm-hmm. Hoop Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's similar in the fact that
these players and the one guy he goes to Idaho and he says there's nothing in Idaho that reminds me of America. That's the ball player. That's the baseball player who goes to Iowa. And tries to fit in the Dominican Republic players who goes to Iowa and tries to fit in that sort of society, which is totally different than anything that he's ever seen. So you said Hoop Dreams, but this one almost reminded me more of Balotero Ball
Player. Yeah, also a decent comparison. Yep.
So the reason this came to me was. One of the guys, and probably the most successful of the guys that was shown in the movie, Aziz Anjay, actually plays in Germany. He ended up going to the College of Southern Idaho for 2 years, and then moved to and then played 3 years in Washington, University of Washington. And put up pretty decent numbers and basically almost basically 9-9 with more than a block his last season, which was 12-13 there, and was in Spain with a second division team in Spain for the preseason, and then a Frankfurt a guy one of their bigs Marius Nolte got hurt and they went and got him and he really didn't do much for basically the first, let's say, 6 weeks, and then exploded, sort of, if you will, against Phoenix Hagen, which really fit because they're, you know, they don't have a lot of bigs and stuff, but he exploded for 16-13, and since then he's had 9-3 and 9-4, so he's definitely taking that next step. You know, this is he's 25, if I'm not mistaken. He's 25, and he's a rookie this year. But he's definitely sort of taken that next step, and it's pretty exciting to watch him play. And now seeing this is pretty neat. After that game, you know, one of his teammates said he's broke out of his cage. He's really, you know, starting to go at it. I really enjoyed the movie. It also reminds me. It's the basketball version of Balotero, because it doesn't. You know, you're not talking the NBA and everybody in Hoop Dreams. It was, you know, the stakes were a little bit higher, if you will. I think, you know, these guys just want to come into the country, whereas the other guys are thinking, you know, I want to get to the NBA somehow. So I think that in that way, the Balotero is a little closer to. But like you said, it's a beautifully made film. It's available online just put in Elevate. I guess ElevateTheMovie.com. You might have to check as far as geo-blocking and stuff like that.
Hold on. Yeah, it's only what they have posted on the film's official website.
That's right. Yeah, that's just the trailer.
Is it's at Snag. Films, SNAG films,
.com.
The embed that they have is Hulu, which I believe can only be seen in North America, I want to say, Canada and the U.S., okay. Possibly also the U.K. Otherwise, I'm not sure what to tell you. This is not really widely available on any markets. So you can't really buy it at Amazon as of now. So I would say check out snagfilms.com, elevate, if you can.
Yeah. We'll let you go with that then, I think. Anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, sir. Enjoy the games, everyone. Oh, yes, I should say Kobe. 21 points.
Hey, we'll approach that in a couple of weeks when we go back.
And a step and a half too slow and still putting up 21 points. There's manufactured optimism for you.
Yeah. Okay, so as I mentioned, I am actually on vacation tomorrow. Kind of a bit of an untimely vacation. We'll be missing the Bayern Galatasaray game on Thursday, and then would have caught the Bamberg Shagiris game the next night. Yeah, kind of a tough one to miss, tough week to miss. And then actually, I think on Sunday or on Monday, I want to say Bamberg's playing Hagen, which would also have been a good game to watch. Yeah, a little bit of an untimely vacation, but you know, if you gotta go sometime.
I would actually, since we're closing up here, I'm actually gonna correct myself. Elevate actually is available on Amazon, and it's even available on Amazon Instant Video.
Okay, there you go.
So you can actually get it there.
Okay. We are, even though I am out of town, we are not taking a break. But we will not be recording a, what would you say, current, up to date.
Yeah, breaking news. We won't be doing any breaking news.
Yeah, for the
podcast,
for the next two episodes, we're going and taking a look back at 2013. So please listen to those shows. I guess we will talk to you all next year again, sort of. Although you'll talk to us again, you'll hear us next week, but anyhow,
it's all very timey-wimey. It's all wibbly-wobbly.
Yes. So, but next, we do have a show coming out on Christmas Day. So we are giving the gift, to our listeners, to listen to, us instead of their relatives.
Yeah, I guess. If you want to look at it that way. Yeah.
And then also to listen to us, with a hangover on New Year's Day.
Yeah, just turn that game down and enjoy the basketball talk.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody, on this, enjoy the basketball. Enjoy the last day of the regular season in the EuroLeague. Enjoy Christmas. Hopefully, all your Christmas shopping will be done soon, and we'll catch you.
And set a place at your table for a zombie.
Enjoy this one. Talk to you later.
Set a place at your table for a zombie. Fill a plate for your rotting fellow man. It's really tough to be undead, help them celebrate instead. At the holidays, it's good to lend a hand. It's a season full of joy and celebration, but for those who struggle with reanimation, it's not toys and dolls and trains, just the endless search for brains. There's nothing fun about zombification. So set a place at your table for a zombie. Fill a plate for your rotting fellow man. It's really tough to be undead, help them celebrate instead. At the holidays, it's good to lend a hand. You don't have to buy your zombie friend a present, but if you don't feed him something, he'll resent it. As long as what you serve is fresh, it doesn't have to be human flesh. Try a turkey or a brisket or some pheasant, and set a place at your table for a zombie. Fill a plate for your rotting fellow man. It's really tough to be undead, help them celebrate instead. At the holidays, it's good to lend a hand. Sing along, zombies! Zombie. Very good, very good. fill a plate for your rotting fellow man. It's really tough to be undead. Help them celebrate instead. At the holidays, it's good to lend a hand.